Thanks for listening to the GCC Sermon Podcast. We'd love to meet you for worship on Sundays at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Visit georgetownchristian.org for more info.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 42 through 47. You know what? I really appreciate this worship team up here this morning. They did an amazing job praising God. Let's give them a round of applause today. They did outstanding praising God. Many of you know that professionally I'm a school counselor, and so I always look forward to summer because it's my time to relax. I enjoy reading books. I enjoy going to the gym and working out, so it's kind of my time to take a break from all the craziness of school, to get away from it all. But this summer has been one of the most stressful summers I've had in a long time. On May 30th, my mother had a stroke, and it was a very severe stroke. It caused her to have seizures. She had to be hospitalized in the intensive care unit, and then once she got out of the intensive care unit, she went to PAM rehab. She had to learn how to talk again. She had some weakness on her left side, so she had to go through not only physical therapy, but also occupational therapy. So this went on from May 30th until June 16th, which was Father's Day. And then she came to our house, my wife and I's house, on June 16th. And I had to put her through the paces. I had to get her to lift weights and to do all of her stretching exercises and bending and help her to regain her mobility. And praise God, she was able to go home last weekend, and she's actually here this morning staying with my family. And so when you think that life seems dark and full of dread and things are not going well, this is the time we really need God and depend upon God. And so God does answer prayer, and I'm so thankful that she is here with us today. And that's what Satan does. He uses all types of deception to attack you, but especially he uses different life circumstances to put doubt in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. So this morning, we need to understand the nature of Satan. We also need to know Scripture that will help us to ward off the things of Satan. So turn with me there in John chapter 8. We'll begin our reading at verse 42. Now, in this passage, Jesus is addressing the religious leaders of Israel. These are not just Jewish citizens. These are the people who've been chosen to be the religious leaders. And look at the comparison that Jesus uses to call them, what names he calls them. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father." He's not talking about God the Father, but "you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." This is some very strict language and very harsh language that Jesus is using here with the religious leaders. But he describes here very clearly the nature of Satan. He uses two words here. He calls him a murderer and a liar. And if we read back in Genesis, we see this acted out. We know the story of Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Abel was a man, when he made sacrifices to God, he always gave the best that he had to sacrifice to God. Cain always gave the worst things to offer to God. And God blessed Abel, and God was not blessing Cain. So Cain became filled with rage and anger, and what did he do? He let Satan enter him, and he murdered his brother Abel. We also read in the account of Genesis how God had placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and given them every good thing to eat and gave them control over all the animals of the world, and he gave them one condition: do not eat from the tree of life. And Satan whispered into Eve and Adam's ear that the reason God doesn't want you to eat from that is because you'll become like God and you'll become just like him. And so they listened to that lie from Satan, and of course death and sin entered the world and destruction therefore. Many of us want to be like God. We want to set up our own little kingdoms, our own little idols, and Satan will whisper these lies and doubts in our minds. The Bible describes Satan as the following. Peter says that Satan is like a predator. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, notice he calls him an adversary, he does not have your best intent. He is not looking out for your welfare. But your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And how he devours you oftentimes is very overtly or sometimes very subtly. Satan knows your desires. He knows what you set up as your idols. Maybe it's your sports teams. Maybe it's because you like to shop. Maybe it's because you're a workaholic. Whatever it is, he will use all different types of distractions to keep you from attending church, from reading God's word, from praying to God. And the Bible tells us this: if we want to be successful against Satan, there's something we need to do in Ephesians 6:11. We need to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Notice that word, schemes. I love the Summer Olympics. I look forward to it every 4 years. And I was excited to see the opening night, the opening event. And then to my shock and to my dismay, what do I see on my screen and what other 28 million people saw around the world was these drag queens mocking the Lord's Supper. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking to me. And that's the devil using an overt thing, using a scheme to get people to mock our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But sometimes Satan uses more subtle ways in order to get you to go away from the things of God. A church I pastored one time, I had this married couple and they had four small children. And they came up to me the Sunday before Memorial Day and they said, "Pastor, you're not gonna see us again until the Sunday after Labor Day." I said, "Why not?" And they said, "Well, we're going camping every weekend." And I said, "Is there going to be a church service where you're camping at?" "Well, no, nature will be our God." "Are you going to be listening to the radio and hearing God's word preached or watching television at your campsite?" "No, we already told you that we're going to be worshiping God's nature." "Well, who created nature?" "Well, that's silly, Pastor. God created nature." "Well, shouldn't we worship then God, the creator, more than the created things?" "Well, yes, Pastor, that's what we should do. But we already told you that nature is going to be our worship." "Well, let me ask you one more question before you depart. Are you going to eat or drink anything the whole time you're gone from May to September?" "Well, that's silly. You know we're going to eat and drink. We need food to sustain us and water to give us life." "Well, what about your spiritual life?" You're just going to let that dry up and go away? You're going to starve to death because you're not in worship? You see that scheme of Satan? You see how he uses subtle things like that to drive us away from the things of God? Satan will do anything to keep us to realize that Jesus has already defeated him at the cross. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by what? By the cross. Satan has already been defeated. And yet he whispers in our ear constantly things that make us doubt our relationship with Christ. Things like the following. He waits for a moment of weakness, and then he uses his lies. He says things like, you know what? You're worthless. You don't count for anything. Nobody even recognizes you. Nobody would even miss you if you were gone. If God really loves you, then why are these bad things happening to you in your life? You know you're not going to be able to pay your bills. You know that big project at work, you're never going to get that completed on time. Lies and lies and lies. And then he'll say something like, you know what? Stop believing that nonsense you hear at church. You know what? What's God done for you lately? You know what? And then guess what happens? You start to have doubt. You start to have fears. You start to believe the lies that are whispered in your ear. But God's word gives us the assurance that Jesus will stand with us, whether in good times or bad days. The Bible tells us in Psalm 121, verses 2 and 3 and verses 7 and 8, my help comes from where? It comes from the Lord. And who is the Lord? He is the maker of heaven and earth. He's not going to let your foot slip. He who watches over you, guess what? He does not slumber. It means he does not sleep. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He's going to watch over your life. He's going to watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. That's the God we serve. We don't serve Satan. We serve Jesus Christ. I want to talk about three areas today in which Satan will use to get you away from the things of God. The first is temptation. When things are going well in our life, we tend to forget about God sometimes. We tend to put him on the back burner, put him on the shelf, kind of have this confidence that, man, look at me. I'm good, ain't I? I'm successful. Look at all the things that are happening to me right now. You know what? I did it all, right? I did it my way. We kind of sound like the singer Bruno Mars. Some of you might not know Bruno Mars. I like Bruno Mars. He's got a song called Uptown Funk. All right, you know that song? He says, I'm so hot, hot dang. Call the police and the fire, man. So hot, hot dang. Make a dragon retire, man. That's pretty hot, huh? It's not scripture. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Sometimes we think we're something when really we're nothing because we're leaving God out of the picture. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. When we think we got everything together, everything's going right, I need to be number one, we forget about God. My daughter-in-law, Rebecca, is an airplane pilot for Spirit Airlines. And if you've been following the news, different airlines around the country, they've been having all different types of trouble on all these different airlines with unruly passengers, okay? People acting out on planes. So the airlines recently did a study to say, what can we do to kind of prevent some of this violence and things that we're seeing that's going on? And so they did a study and they realized if we board people, starting with the back of the plane, to the front, we don't have as much trouble on the plane. Why? Why do you think that's so? Well, think about it. If you put the first class passengers in first, and they're swigging champagne and eating a full course meal, and you get to the back of the plane, they give you some hot water and a bag of pretzels that are half full, your pride's going to get up. And you're going to say, well, I deserve some champagne. I deserve a meal. Why am I back here in the back having this ridiculous little bit of food that's really reserved for mice or something, and they're out there eating a full meal? That's Satan again whispering into your ear, that pride, and you think you're something when you're really nothing, which starts to change our hearts a little bit. Satan has used that gimmick since the dawn of mankind. Genesis 3:5, he told Eve to eat the forbidden fruit because she would be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan knows all of our individual desires. He knows that most of us, at one time or another in our life, we want to be recognized. We want fame. We want power. We want recognition. And Satan knows how to use it. Look at Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 14. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Again, pride, arrogance. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So when temptation comes, we have a way out. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Flee from that self-worship. Flee from putting God away on the shelf. Realizing that when temptation comes, we need God in our life. Humility with God's guidance can help us to overcome the temptation from Satan in our lives. So temptation is one area. Another area in which Satan likes to attack us is anxiety and stress. So what causes you to get stressed? What causes anxiety in your life? Maybe it's your job. You work so much just to get caught up that you constantly feel overwhelmed all the time. And then you start to worry. Maybe you're dreading the start of school. There's a lot of students in here getting ready to start school here soon. Maybe you're stressed and anxious about the start of school. For a lot of us, we're stressed and anxious about the unknown. Things that we know are going to happen to us somewhere down the road. We can't control it, but it still worries us a little bit. Jesus said the following about worry in Matthew 6:27. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And yet we all do it, don't we? We want to control every little aspect of our lives, and when things don't go the way we want to go, we start to worry, we start to have doubt, we start to get stressed, we start to get anxious. When Jesus said this in Matthew 6:27, he also gave us an answer of how we can overcome these things. Matthew 6:33, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you read that passage, he talks about how people are worried about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink. He said, you know, the pagans, the unbelievers run after those things. He says, but you should be different. You're set aside for a purpose, to seek my righteousness, to seek my kingdom. And when you do these things, I'm going to give you more than you desire. What causes stress for me is not knowing how to say the word no. Sometimes I take on way too much stuff in my life, and then I get upset and mad when I don't have the time to do it all. And I get aggravated, and I'll talk to myself about it. And I'll say, Aaron, why did you do that? Why didn't you just learn to say no? Why aren't you having more patience with this? And boom, 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 that's Satan talking to me and putting fear and doubt and stress and anxiety in my life. Story is told about this married couple. They've been married 10 years, and every night before they would go to bed, the wife would say to the husband, I have this fear, I have this stress, I have this anxiety that our house is going to be broken into. And her husband would say to her every night, that's not going to happen. Everything's good. And so every night he had to comfort her and assure her nothing was going to happen. Well, after 10 years of marriage, he was asleep one night and he heard this crash downstairs. He got up to investigate. He walked down the stairs, and sure enough, he found a man robbing their house. And he turned to the robber and he said, would you do me a favor? Would you go upstairs and meet my wife? She's been waiting 10 years to meet you. Now, I don't think that was the right answer, husbands. I think you probably got in a lot of trouble for doing that. But sometimes we have stress and anxiety that's founded, and sometimes it's unfounded. King David had a lot of stress and anxiety in his life. He had to battle the giant Goliath. His own king Saul tried to have him murdered. And when David became king, his own son Absalom tried to usurp his throne. You talk about stress in somebody's life, right? But David wrote the following in Psalm 55:22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Here's a man who had all different types of challenges, all different things going wrong in his life. And despite all of that, David still trusted God. Satan will use stress and anxiety to wear you down and to make you feel worthless. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. One of the keys to overcoming stress and anxiety is to humble ourselves before God, because we cannot do everything on our own power. Look what Peter says here in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So there's a game plan there. First of all, we have to humble ourselves. And once we humble ourselves under God, then he says he's going to lift us up during the time that he thinks is sufficient. And when we cast our anxiety on him, guess what? He will prove and show you how much he loves and cares about you. So we have temptation, we have anxiety and stress, and the third area that Satan likes to use is fear and despair. During World War II, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor in Hawaii by the Japanese, our President Franklin Delano Roosevelt made his famous speech in talking about the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Do you think Americans were afraid at that time? Do you think there was fear going on? That young men realized they were going to be drafted, some would be injured, some would be captured, some would actually be killed. I had two uncles who fought in World War II. My Uncle Bud Campbell, who was married to my Aunt Jean, my dad's sister, he fought against the Japanese in the Philippines. My Uncle Bud was a very quiet man. He was not one to brag about his achievements or his exploits in life, but I knew men who served with him during that war, and they told me when I was a child that my Uncle Bud was the best shot in the platoon. Oftentimes, they would put him on point on dangerous missions. My Uncle Bud, because he was such a strong Christian, he would tell me a few stories. He told me, he said, you know, Aaron, the men who claimed to be atheists, when the bullets were flying and the bombs were dropping, they were the first ones to cry out to Christ. And he said, my biggest fear during World War II was being captured by the Japanese, because we had all heard the reports that they would torture prisoners of war and very brutal to them. And he told me that he was in an open-air Jeep riding on a mission, and his Jeep was blown up and he was slightly wounded, and he crawled away from the Jeep and was able to hide into a ditch, and he crawled to safety, and this Philippine family found him and nursed him back to health until he was able to rejoin his platoon. And he told me during that whole experience, he said the one thing that sustained me was my faith in God. That God had a bigger plan for my life and that God was watching over me and I was led back to safety. And Bud followed Christ for all of his life until he died at the age of 92 in 2016. The only time we ever had a disagreement was the following. I'm a big Honda man. I've driven Hondas all my life. Uncle Bud was a Chevrolet man. And he said he could not bring himself to buy any Japanese-made model after his experiences during the war. My other uncle, Buddy Striegel, fought against the Germans in Germany. And he was part of the forces that went to free some of the concentration camps holding Jewish citizens. Until the day that Buddy died at age 91 in 2016, that he said those images of those Jewish citizens being starved to death and tortured just filled him with fear and despair and wondering why the whole German nation would listen to a crazy man named Hitler and put a whole group of people in this type of horrendous situation. But when you read the Bible and you read Scripture, it makes sense because Satan will use fear and despair concerning life circumstances to put doubt in your mind so that you will doubt your faith and you will live in fear, feeling like you're excluded from God. He doesn't want you, if you're a Christian, to use your power that you have through the Holy Spirit. But if we read God's Word through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We cannot be condemned by Satan because we know where we stand with Christ. In Romans 8:39, it says, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No matter the schemes, no matter the lies, no matter the doubts, no matter the fear that he tries to put in your life, we know where we stand with Christ. The disciples of Jesus, they were fearful after the crucifixion of Jesus. The religious leaders wanted to put them to death as well, to persecute them. The disciples were in hiding from the authorities when suddenly Jesus appeared to them. He not only offered them peace, but he also offered them a mission to go into the whole world and preach the good news of Jesus. And after the Holy Spirit came upon them and dwelled the disciples, they were filled with a boldness and power to witness and preach about Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? They went out with that boldness, with the power of the Holy Spirit living within them. And guess what? That same Holy Spirit power resides in all of us today who claim the title Christian. And so therefore, no matter what Satan does, no matter the schemes, the lies, the doubt, the fear, you can overcome it through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Becoming a Christian does not mean that all your troubles are going to cease. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you need to shift your focus from the problem to the solution. And during your struggle, Jesus is standing there next to you. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 says the following. This is Paul talking. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When you're at your lowest point, when things aren't going well, you're feeling overwhelmed, you turn to God and feel that power residing in you. So when Satan tries to use stress or anxiety or fear or despair, Scripture should be our first line of defense. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. No fear. Trust God. Let's pray. Lord, today, we know that at times we worry, that we do not trust in you, that sometimes we're filled with anxiety, stress, fear, despair, temptation, all these things that are talked about in your word. But help us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus, to overcome these things by trusting in you. If there's one here today, Lord, who does not know you as Lord and Savior, if they're trusting more in themselves or they're just feeling anxious and worried all the time, let them give all that fear and despair over to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.